sit down yet. We're going to take a few minutes and greet those seated around us. At this point, Carol will be giving a children's message. So any children, if you'd come up. If there aren't many children, those of you that are young at heart can come on up too. I see Randy Cook isn't here. He usually is one of the kids. But.
Can you hear me okay? I'm going to come down by you, but you might have to help me up from these stairs when I get done. Have you ever heard of the Can't hear me? Can you hear me? There. Probably if I put this up to my mouth, it works better than okay. Okay. Have you heard of the book? I don't think. Is it working? Kind. Not good
Thank you, Carol. Our confession today comes from Psalm 16. I said to the Lord, "You are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing." And then for our word of assurance, the same psalm, but verse 11. You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. Somehow in our Christian faith, sometimes we forget that pleasure comes from God, and that we are promised pleasures forevermore at his right hand in the future. Well, at this time, we are going to be collecting your tithes and offerings. If the ushers and greeters would come forward, we give back just a portion of what God has given to us. You may be seated. This time we're going to be turning to the Lord in prayer. But before we do, I want you to think about some people in your life, including perhaps yourself, who are desperately in need of assistance. And that assistance may come in various forms. That problem may come in various forms, whether it's spiritual, or physical, or emotional, or financial. People need God. So think about several people that you know that are in dire need. And before I begin to pray, I want there to be a few moments of silence for you to pray for those people. At the end, we will be finishing our prayers with the Lord's Prayer. And if you need the words, they're printed in the bulletin as well. So let's turn to the Lord in prayer, shall we? With a moment of silence first. Dear Heavenly Father, we know that each person here has problems and has difficulties in life. And even if their difficulties aren't too large, they know people who do. People that are struggling to find their way spiritually, people that are having difficulty paying the bills, people that are emotionally on edge or physically on edge. Lord, we know that you are the answer to every problem. You're not someone who automatically grants our wishes like some genie in a bottle. Sometimes our prayers need to be continuous and ongoing for ourselves and for others, but we know that you hear all of our prayers. We know that you are there, and you have promised to never leave us nor forsake us, even though it would seem at times that you have abandoned us. It's not true. You are here right now. We ask, Lord, too, that each person in this congregation find a way to reach out to other people who are perhaps in worse need than they are. Sometimes by helping others, we find the solution to our own problems. We ask all this in the name of Jesus, who taught his apostles to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We will continue with our worship in song, number 22 in your hymnal. And notice in the bulletin, we will be singing verses 1, 3, and 5. Please rise if you are able.
Jesus, take hold.
You can be seated. Psychologists and sociologists tell us that our country is experiencing an epidemic of loneliness. It's easy to make a case that that is what is happening. People, particularly young men, spend endless hours playing video games, seeming to prefer an electronic world to engagement with flesh and blood people. Others, particularly teens and young women, spend endless hours on social media. Frequently, they encounter people who have cruel things to say about them and others. After all, it's easy to be cruel when you don't have to face the people you're criticizing. If you're like me, you have seen couples and sometimes whole families sitting in a restaurant, not talking, each busy scrolling through their phones. It has become common for many people to cocoon themselves around their electronic devices. TV, computers, smartphones have become our substitutes for social interaction. Almost all of us are guilty to some degree. After God had created everything, we read in Genesis 1:31, God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. Then in Genesis 2:18, we read, it is not good for man to be alone. Looking around the sanctuary this morning, I recognize that there are many of you who are widows, widowers, and also those who are divorced or suffer from broken relationships. Using myself for an example, my children are grown, and sometimes I don't see them for extended periods of time. I'm sure many of you can relate to that situation. My wife, Jennifer, as many of you know, works as a nursing assistant at Corwell Health in Greenville. Her typical shifts are from 5 p.m. until 5:30 a.m. She frequently gets called in for extra shifts. Sometimes when I'm sitting home alone and feeling sorry for myself, I think, yeah, I'm alone. And actually, I'm the kind of person that likes some solitude. If anything that I'm saying is ringing true for you, let me just say, you are not alone. If you are a regular attendee of this church or any other Christian church, you're making an important hedge against aloneness by being here. Let's inform ourselves through Scripture of some people who felt alone as well. Don't forget, feeling alone is not the same thing as being alone. If we look at the prophet Elijah, a man that God granted a stunning victory over pagan prophets of Baal, we see a man who succumbs to fear of Queen Jezebel. In 1 Kings 19:14, Elijah says, "The Israelites have rejected your covenant, broken down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I'm the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too." Elijah had even gone so far as to ask God to take his life. Isn't it interesting to notice that at the end of Elijah's time on earth, Elijah didn't die, but was taken to heaven in a fiery chariot? 2 Kings 2. Check it out yourself. Many of you have, in your Christian life, gone to the Psalms for consolation and comfort. That is a good choice. Have you noticed, though, particularly the Psalms of King David are filled with anguish and loneliness? Psalm 13 begins, "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and every day have sorrow in my heart?" Fortunately, King David gives us one of the keys to solving our feelings of loneliness. He says, "But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation." God is with us. Trust him. Jeremiah was a... Now, I know some of you are thinking, some of you around my age are thinking, Jeremiah was a bullfrog. Now, that's not what I'm thinking. Although I think the bullfrog has landed a little bit in my throat here this morning. No, I'm thinking of Jeremiah the prophet. Jeremiah had a difficult job. God tasked him with giving the Israelites some messages that they definitely did not want to hear. I'm going to read you a few verses from Jeremiah 1, 4 through 10. The call of Jeremiah. "The words of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Ah, sovereign Lord, I said, I do not know how to speak. I'm only a child. But the Lord said to me, do not say I'm only a child. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you, and I will rescue you, declares the Lord. Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant." God says, "I am with you." At one point, the people were so angry at Jeremiah that they put him in a cistern. I don't know if you know what a cistern is. It's a place that holds water. It's a man-made cave for storing water in. When you get to the bottom of the cistern, all that's left is muck and mud. Maybe that's where Jeremiah the bullfrog was too, I'm not sure. Anyway, they put Jeremiah down there. There was no water in there, mind you, but there was mud. How deep? We don't know. He might have been up to his waist, up to his neck, and they kept him down there quite a long time. How long? We don't know. Imagine how alone he must have felt. But God rescued him as he had promised. Speaking of people in holes in the ground, Richard Wurmbrand, a pastor in Romania under the Soviet Union, was arrested and tortured for refusing to stop preaching the gospel. He spent much time in solitary confinement, part of that time in a pit in the ground in freezing temperatures with inadequate clothing. No one should have been able to survive it. Pastor Wurmbrand describes a glowing being, an angel, who gave off warmth and allowed him to survive. Pastor Wurmbrand went on to establish the Voice of the Martyrs organization. We have copies of their magazine right here in the church if you're interested. If you were here last Sunday, you heard Pastor Randy talk a little bit about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They must have felt quite alone when they refused to bow down to Nebuchadnezzar's golden idol. In Daniel 3:17-18, they say, "If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it, and he will rescue us from your hand, O King. But even if he does not, we want you to know, O King, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up." What courage! Could you do the same with a blazing furnace in front of you, knowing you'd be thrown in a moment? They were thrown in and survived it, along with someone else that was walking around in there. There were four people in there. And what of Daniel? A night alone in a lion's den? That same king Nebuchadnezzar said to Daniel, "May your God, whom you serve continually, may he rescue you." A few verses later in Daniel 6:22, Daniel says, "My God sent his angel, and he shut the mouths of the lions." We see time after time that God is faithful to those who believe and who serve him. All the way back to Joshua, God says to Joshua, and it's true even for us today who follow him, "I will never leave you nor forsake you," even when we feel alone. Footprints. One night a man had a dream. He dreamed he was walking along the beach with the Lord. Across the sky flashed scenes from his life. For each scene, he noticed two sets of footprints in the sand. One belonged to him and the other to the Lord. When the last scene of his life flashed before him, he looked back at the footprints in the sand. He noticed that many times along the path of his life, there was only one set of footprints. He also noticed that it happened at the very lowest and saddest times in his life. This really bothered him, and he questioned the Lord about it. "Lord, you said once that I decided to follow you, you'd walk with me all the way. But I noticed that during the most troublesome times in my life, there's only one set of footprints. I don't understand why, when I needed you most, you would leave me." The Lord replied, "My precious, precious child, I love you. I would never leave you. During your times of trial and suffering, when you only see one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you." Something to remind ourselves of is that Jesus is fully God and fully man. If he was fully man, was he ever lonely? Let's read a few verses from Matthew 26. This is verses 36 to 46. "Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, 'Sit here while I go over there and pray.' He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, 'My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me.' Going a little further, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, 'My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. yet not as I will, but as you will. Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. Could you men not keep watch with me for 1 hour? He asked Peter. Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak. He went away a second time and prayed, My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done. When he came back, he found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away once more and prayed the third time, saying the same thing. Then he returned to his disciples and said to them, Are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour is near, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer. Judge for yourselves if Jesus, in his humanness, felt alone. Also think of his cry from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? So this reminds me of the words of a song, I can't remember the title of, Loewy will know it. He could have called 10,000 angels, but he died alone for you and me. Have you ever felt that way? Why have you forsaken me? One more biblical example. The Apostle John was exiled to the island of Patmos because of the Word of God. Church tradition tells us that John had been boiled in oil, but survived. We don't know if John spent his time alone on Patmos, but we do know that God was with him and revealed many things to him. From his time there, we get the book of Revelation. To the outside observer, John may have seemed alone and forgotten, but he received visions and dreams and prophecy. There is only one place to put your trust in confidence. That's because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Don't put your confidence in money and bank accounts, in the stock market, or gold, or politicians, or the government. As we continue to see, there is no security in any of that. Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. I personally take great comfort in that, that Jesus is preparing a place for everyone that believes in him. One of God's attributes is omnipresence. That simply means he's everywhere all the time. That means that he is here right now. That means that those of us who spend a lot of time alone have access to his presence all the time. He loves you. Talk to him. God calls us to reach out to each other, to particularly care for widows, orphans, and foreigners among us. Can you imagine how alone immigrants are feeling in this political climate we live in? God requires us to show mercy and compassion. Recently, a group of Afghan Christians who were here legally were deported back to Afghanistan, where Christians are typically imprisoned or killed. You are entitled to your own opinion on our immigration policies in this country, but you are not entitled to your own version of Jesus' message of loving and caring for the least of these. Mercy and compassion has been shown to us. Let us show the same to others. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're grateful for your love. We're grateful for your presence here among us. We're grateful for your presence with every prisoner, every immigrant, every lonely person living in a place by themselves, it would seem. But you are there. All we need to do is to call on you. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your words and for your love for us. In your name we pray. Amen. Let us go to worship in song. Our last song will be Beneath the Cross of Jesus. It's number 253 in your hymnal, if you choose to look along there. Rise if you are able. As you leave this place today, may the love of God the Father, the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you all. Amen.